Summer Breakfast with Sam Edmund and Simon O'Donnell.
And you, let's not forget you. It's great to have you along for the ride. It is the 29th day of November. Good morning to you. It's a Tuesday morning. Hope you're going well. Today on the McCafe menu, our official coffee partner, number one pick in last night's AFL draft. He's the tall, bound for GWS, the NAB League leading goal kicker. Aaron Cadman is going to jump on the line. David Zeta from Fox Footy after night one of the draft will bring us up to speed with all the comings and goings ahead of the remainder of the draft tonight. Questions Without Notice is with us as well, as is this man. He played the game for Australia, test, ODI level, and just a few very handy games for the Saints as well. What a sportsman he was. Simon O'Donnell. Scoob, welcome.
Morning, Sam. Stiff Jedi. Morning, Sam. Gee, you were up and about early this morning. You really came with a morning.
Do you have your cans up too loud? Blow your ear drums
a little bit loud, yes.
You haven't had a great start. You went down St Kilda Road again. This is a bit like the hamster test when the hamster gets zapped. St Kilda was blocked yesterday, Scoob. Yep. You went back down there again this morning.
Yeah, I had another go. I thought they might have finished their work, but they hadn't. They were probably just doing a bit more.
Did you say you were local traffic?
I did. Well, I did yesterday. And then when I saw the big man pointing at the sign this morning, I thought, oh, no. Once bitten, twice shy, I better do a Yui here and find another alternative to get into work. So I did. I found it. I'm here. I'm happy. I've had another great night on the tube. Watching the telly.
Did you watch?
This soccer's got me.
Oh, yeah. How was the game?
Oh, Cameroon, three each.
Day 9 of this FIFA World Cup. So yesterday was dramatic, full of upsets. Overnight, plenty of goals. So Cameroon, you mentioned 3, Serbia 3. What about the Ghana-South Korea game? Ghana 3, South Korea 2. That was swinging all different directions. Mm. Only one goal in the Brazilian game, but it was probably worth 6. Yeah. It was an absolute cracker from Casemiro.
They just looked like they could do it at any stage. They're
special, aren't they?
The Brazilians.
Brazil 1, Switzerland 0. And as we cast our eye over the final game of day 9, it is Portugal 0, Uruguay 0. And the Uruguayans need a win here, having drawn their opening game. So we're 5 minutes played, scores level at 0-0.
And the Cameroon goalkeeper, out of there.
He got sent off.
Go home.
That's it.
No, go home.
Oh, yes. It was disciplinary issues.
Hooroo.
Saw that.
Out of there. Out of blue with the coach. Coach said, outski.
Just coming back to the car for a moment. I've started locking my car door while driving. Do you do that? Central locking? Just I get in, I click, lock them up. I don't know why. Strange habit. Do you do that? Just coming in at that time of the day, stopping at some lights, some interesting characters around. I've just started. I don't know if it was after that. Did you hear that Alicia Carnivas incident, the Matilda, who was, someone tried to carjack her.
She was live on radio.
She was with Simon Hill up there. And I reckon maybe since then I've just thought, it takes 2 seconds to lock the car doors. Nothing's ever happened to me, but I just feel a bit better now having locked it. The more I do it, the more I want to do it.
A bit jumpy.
Do we get jumpy in our older age or not?
Yeah, you do. As you get older, you get a bit jumpier.
More careful. That sounded terrifying anyway. And at this time of the day coming in, I just don't know. I've just started the central locking.
Maybe we should make contact with you on your way in each day, just in case you do get carjacked, and we can have you live on air.
How many alarms do you set, by the way? Because I went through one this morning.
Did you?
It went, and this has never happened
to me.
Still
beat me.
So it buzzed, and I hit it. Next thing I know, it's buzzing again. 10 minutes later, like that.
Well, you hit snooze, did you?
Yeah, well, when you just tap the iPhone on the side, I think it automatically goes on the snooze, doesn't it? So it buzzed me again 10 minutes in. I tell you what. That was scary.
So you had a big day yesterday, didn't you?
Big day of work yesterday.
Yeah. So pounding you're a bit the tired. Keys. That's why you've gone the extra. You look for the extra 10 minutes.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. I do crave though on big days when you come home and you're a bit weary and you want lunch by 9:30 is a good toastie. Do you have a good toasted sandwich recipe?
No.
I have a mate who started to put raw white onion in his toasties. You get bogged down with your ham and your cheese, your salami and your cheese. You might mix it up with a bit of tomato as well. Maybe even a bit of Dijon in my case. But he started putting in white raw onion and he swears by it.
It's nice, wouldn't it?
I think it would be nice. Pretty dominant sort of setup for the toasty.
With the tomato, cheese and onion, it'd be beautiful in a
toasty. Probably would be good, wouldn't it? Nice and just as long as it's shaved fine, not too full on.
A bit of mustard, a bit of Dijon.
A bit of Dijon, magnificent. Oh, you know, one thing I've only just started doing, though, which is shameful, I've only just started scraping the butter on the top, which is essential, pre-toasting. But it takes a bit of discipline. You've got to go back to the fridge, you've got to get the butter out. Is it a harder consistency? Is it soft enough? Is it going to rip your bread? It can give you the
the irrits when you rip your bread and you're about to put in the toasty, then things get messy.
I think with the time you and I have got left on this program, if you keep along with this attitude of complicating things as much as you are, that time's going to be short. So my job is to just get you to simplify things.
Hang on. Do you keep your butter? Do you keep some butter outside of your fridge?
No. Butter is always in the fridge.
So it's hard.
No, it gets
real butter,
stuff.
Not that margarine rubbish. Real butter.
It's real butter.
Okay. Is it?
Or
is
it the salt in it?
Is it the old spread?
No, it's not the spread.
What about your tea sauce, your tomato sauce? This has always forever been a debatable topic. You keep your tomato sauce in the fridge or out of the fridge?
Out of the fridge.
Out of the fridge.
Room temperature.
Disgraceful, Baker.
Room temperature.
Doesn't it get all runny?
No.
That's gross.
What do you think? There's natural things in it, do you? You actually think there's a tomato in it, do you?
There's probably a fair bit of sauce and salt in there that would ensure that it survives on the shelf.
I reckon there might be a touch of sugar in there as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It'll outlast you and I.
Stay sort of thick, though, don't you? But tell me you clean the nozzle. Now, that's the one thing
you've got to agree.
You've got to clean
down.
The nozzle because that's how you get a little bit crooked. A little bit of bacteria builds up and gets
I'm
into your bottle.
Don't worry. When you're starting a toaster, you're putting it. The butter out, then putting it back in, then having to get it out again. Well, we've got some issues with your time management in the kitchen.
Some people leave a portion of their butter outside, so it is nice and spreadable. I'm talking about real butter, not that spreadable fake stuff that's getting around.
Ours isn't spreadable fake stuff.
No, wouldn't have thought so. No, being a man, a dairy king of
my word.
The north.
Get the milk of the morning.
Yeah. I would have thought you would be squeezing the teats before you put it on your cornflakes, to be honest. Ham, cheese, pineapple, absolute winner. Gents, can we talk some footy? We'll talk some footy. We'll get to the draft. We'll get to all that. Just chill out for a second. We're here for 3 hours. We've got plenty of time. Put the butter in the cupboard. Who wants to spread hard butter? Well, I agree with that. Nothing irritates me more than a tear in the top of the bread. Tell you what. You need to put pineapple in your ham and cheese toasty. Cam.
That's un-Australian, I reckon, the pineapple.
Red onion adds a lot of flavour. So there you go. Maybe a bit of red onion. And David and Ballarat's on the raw white onion in his toasty. So maybe that's a go-to. Maybe need to... Nothing wrong with the ham, though. And by the way, the Batokis have just arrived here.
Oh, they're for Chrissy.
One's got your name on it.
I suppose December 1, we should be out and about, shouldn't we?
One of those hams has got your name on it for the festive season as well. Just one, I think.
A big car.
You got a big car. Yeah, well, you haven't got a big ham, I think. I've already claimed the biggest one. Speaking of toasties, do you know Harry Souter, our star soccer room man at the moment over there in Qatar, big lump of a lad? He was asked what his Subway order was. Have a listen to what powers the big Socceroos central defender when he gets into Subway.
To Subway order.
chicken breast, ham, bit of onions, cheese and onion crisps sprinkled over the top, ketchup.
What?
Three cookies and a Pepsi Max.
That's why you're 120 kg.
It's not the healthiest, mate, but...
120 kg?
So tall, like, boy, is it absolutely delicious.
Been eating that since he was a baby.
That's why the skinny's been growing up, mate.
Mate, how's he moving around the pitch?
Wow.
He has a sprinkling of, what was it, cheese and onion chips on the top of it.
Beautiful.
And with chicken breast and ham. That's a meat fest. Meat lovers.
You'll lick your lips, mate.
And he likes his ketchup on the top as well. Toasty hack, though, we're told here off the text. By the way, 0433981116, powered as always by the Temper 40 Winks crew. Use a light spread of mayo as the crisping agent. Light spread of mayo on the top. Thoughts on that?
No.
Okay, mate.
I like the baked beans toasty. Have you had a baked bean toasty?
Nah, I'm not.
Oh, no, it's good.
Big baked bean operator,
aren't you?
Nah,
I love a baked bean.
Oh, fart pellets? Nah, not. Don't get on board with them.
Three or four pieces of multigrain toast, a little bit of butter on the top.
Yep. Oh, not a toasty, really? just poured over the top.
Oh well, or a toasty, but this is the way I like to consume my baked bean, particularly when you're too lazy to cook.
Right.
Thinking,
okay.
I'm buggered. I don't want to cook.
Yeah.
And then just put the tin in the jar, in the pot, warm up the beans, on top of the toast, heap of pepper. Oh,
nice.
Merry Christmas. Thanks. So simple, but beautiful. Beautiful.
Cupie mayo is a must in the toasty. Kramer's up in Brisbane. My kids love when I make toasties because I make them in the fry pan. That's not a bad idea.
Everyone puts their sauce in the fridge.
Yeah.
Sauce has got to be room temperature.
No mate. Garlic butter. Garlic butter on the outside, a game changer, and some of the new age operators amongst us are doing their toasties in the air fryer. Have you got an air fryer at home?
No.
No, I'm a bit slow on the air fryer as well. Garlic butter on the outside's a game changer. And Buzz says, mate, full egg mayo on your ham and cheese, salt, pepper. Liking the onion idea, though. That's from Buzz. Buzz Lightyear out there. Oh, no, sod. That's it. Sauce not in the fridge. And you call yourself a country boy?
Wow.
You can hand back your last name, son.
Cop that.
Two are now just an Australian. Cop no that. Eye contact on. Warm tomato sauce indeed. Walshy in Mansfield.
What about salt or chicken salt?
Oh, not a chicken salt. I find a bit.
Oh, can't stand
nah,
it.
No, too much.
People say, oh, no, get chicken salt on your chips. You say, give us a break.
Now, are
happy
you
happy to get normal salt, but chicken salt, not a hope in hell.
No, I don't like the chicken salt. Are you okay? Because you and your former cricket fraternity are a bit up in arms this morning, just coming back to the food.
Oh, you should be.
Oh, well, I reckon you're the source here that's been quoted in the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age this morning. Dan Bredig with the story. You and your former player fraternity have cracked it. Now, Dan writes, past Australian cricketers have been left disillusioned by the scrapping of hospitality functions traditionally held at men's home test matches, replaced by the offer of a ticket and a $30 food and drink voucher.
What about that?
At a time of considerable friction between past players, the current team and cricket admin, more generally, the decision of the Australian Cricketers Association to downgrade the former cricketers' invitations to test matches has been poorly received. And one former Australian cricketer told The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, it's a slap to past players. What's wrong with a $30 voucher? You could at least get a bowl of chips out of it.
Can we get a name of that player?
No, that's the sauce. I suspect it's you.
Was it the fridge or room temperature that sauce?
I suspect it's you that's cracked it here. It was you and your friends with your nose in the trough on those big test days. The unlimited food and drink supply.
Oh, what about that? Stiff cheddar.
It's not like your generation has done anything to help build the current pie and the pay deals that the players are reaping now. You've done nothing. You've done nothing there. So what's wrong with a $30 voucher? Okay, little token, little thank you.
Yeah, I'm just taken aback. Yeah, heart and soul I put into it.
What
heart
about that?
Heart and soul, man.
A $30 food and beverage voucher.
Heart and soul. I get a bucket of chips, Pepsi. Oh, man.
No chicken salt.
Oh, heart and soul.
No idea, you two. It says on the sauce bottle, refrigerate after opening. That's from Darren. Sometimes we can overthink it, Scoob. Just do what it says on the bottle. Gee. Gavin Weymouth is down in Tassie. He's one of your supporters, though. He says definitely keep it on the shelf. And as you said, there's probably enough sugar and salt to make sure it'll last forever out in the open air. Did you watch any of the draft last night?
No.
National draft?
No, I didn't. I watched the soccer.
I wonder what the Stoked count was.
And I did it only because I knew you'd be watching the draft, so I thought I needed to watch the soccer.
There are a lot of kids who were stoked. Stoked, stoked, stoked. I'm stoked. Even Gil McLaughlin was stoked by then.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I love the reactions from the...
Gil wasn't there, was he?
No, but he was stoked. Everyone was stoked.
I caught you out there, didn't I?
Well, you stoked. I didn't say he was there.
Threw the old Gil out and he wasn't there.
I love the reactions from the family and friends and all that. That's great. So just the first round is last night. But I think we saw, Scoob, a new clubhouse leader in the George Wardlaw gang. So George was taken by the Kangas, of course, pick four. Out of the Oakley Chargers, going to be a super player. But his crew, I don't know if it was his old footy club, his mates, everyone, family, they'd gathered down at the pub to watch the live broadcast. I reckon there might have been more than 100 there. And as you're about to hear, they went full Federation Square Socceroo style. They went Tropper when his name got called out. How good's that?
Fantastic.
Bit of Wardlaw.
Fantastic.
I love it. We're going to dissect the draft a little bit later. The Giants got their Cadman, of course, Aaron Cadman, that is, and we'll have him on the line a little bit later on. The Giants' first number one pick, of course, since Tom Boyd in 2013. Had a growth spurt and obviously has been in GWS's sights as a key forward since they did that mega trade, quote unquote, to move up to pick one in the draft during the trade period. Sydney, weren't they the agitators last night as well?
Now, what did they do?
Well, they cost GWS a first rounder because they put a bid in for their first pick as well, one of their academy players. That was Harry Rowston, who won a spot in this year's under 18 All Australian team, was bound for GWS, of course. So they put a bid in for him. Then they put a bid in on Adelaide's father son bid on Max Michelini at 17. And as it turned out, they were probably buying a little bit of time to work the only live trade of the night, the big one with Hawthorn, which we'll dissect a little bit later on. That meant that Josh Weddle went at number 18 to the Hawks, but the Hawks have had to cough up plenty for that. And there was a bit of back and forth as well, I reckon. The Dogs haven't forgotten the Josh Dunkley deal, so they were the ones that put the bid in a bit earlier on Jasper Fletcher. And just coming back to Sydney, maybe that was paying Adelaide back to some degree for the Jordan Dawson trade, you know. And with the Dogs as well, Luke Beveridge did say that they would have to famously pony up the Brisbane Lions. In the end, he made them pony up another way.
Wow.
While forcing them to cough up a bit more than what they probably anticipated for Jasper Fletcher, the other father-son bound for the Gabba. So it was a big night last night. Aaron Cadman going at pick number one. Did you watch it? Love your take on it throughout the morning. 0433 98 11 16. You can give us a buzz on the ENS open line whenever you like. 1300 736 736.
I believe we can't go to lunch. Wow.
A lot of feedback on the toasties. I'll tell you what. There's some people passionate
chicken
about their
salt
ingredients.
Versus salt.
Yeah.
Sauce in the fridge. I reckon it's even. Sauce in the fridge, sauce in the cupboard.
Get involved on the Temper 40 Weeks text. They are the consumer's choice winner. Temper mattresses, pillows, and adjustable bases. They conform to the exact shape of your body. Qatar, Portugal 0, Uruguay 0. 20 minutes played over there.
It makes me smile every day, the ramble.
Summer Breakfast with Sam Edmund and Simon O'Donnell.
Just sifting through the toasty recipe, Scoob, and I found this. Now, Blake has texted this in. I've been saying this to myself mainly for ages. Why don't the AFL do this? Can we talk about the soulless feel of the draft last night, says Blake. Absolutely no atmosphere in the draft room. The obvious way to fix it, allow fans at the draft. The NFL does this so well. You could see how much passion and happiness was flowing through the homes of players and the pub for George Wardlaw. Now, we got a text in that pub. It was up at the Great Northern Hotel in Byron Bay, says this texter. My son and his mates from De La Salle were up there, obviously on schoolies.
On schoolies.
Of course they were. They thought, let's go to the pub to see old mate get taken by the Kangaroos at pick
brilliant
four.
Stuff.
Oh, having the times of their lives, aren't they, these kids? Joe's in Point Cook. Welcome, Joey.
Morning, guys. How are you today?
What's happening, mate?
Oh, not a lot. I reckon it's going to get interesting going deeper into the draft with clubs now bit more tentative on selection, if they're going to be interstate players heading down to Melbourne or vice versa, Melbourne players heading interstate. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's always a talking point each and every year, Joe, but it appears to be more relevant than ever at the moment. We spoke yesterday about GWS perhaps taking kids from, you know, country Victoria and whether that plays a role in kids who perhaps have gone to boarding school and left. We're casting mass generalisations, of course, and I guess trying to get to the bottom of something that will never be an exact science because every case is hugely individual and unique, Scoob, in their own right. But I think if there's a choice, and West Coast have said this on the record, between two players that they can't split, they'll always go with the one that's either local or that has the less of a go-home factor.
I think there's enough logic in that now, enough sense in that now to say that's the way to go, even though it's, you know, it's not proven over the journey. But you know, I think clubs have just got to do it. They need longevity out of their youngsters to build their culture and keep, you know, that feel around a club and the way they want the club to head. They need those youngsters to stay part of the organisation. So I think it's important.
Jack's in Circular Quay. Thanks for the call, Joe. Jack says, morning, lads. The Stoke count was high, but I reckon the surreal count was right up there. The he's a steal count is already mounting, according to Beadle. And there was a term used last night by Essendon list boss Adrian Dodoro that you don't hear too often. He was chuffed. He was chuffed with their pick.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. But you just a word that you don't hear too often, do you?
I often use it.
You use chuffed?
Yeah.
You use stiff cheddar.
And chuffed?
And chuffed.
They're about as old as each other.
You've got a great
stiff cheddar.
You've got a great old school vocabulary, to be honest. I love your vocab. It's great. Of course, they got Elijah.
Yeah. Peanut's not in mine, but it's in yours.
Oh, look, I apologise.
Shut up, Simon. You peanut.
I did apologise for that. Take that,
that
back.
Vicious.
Mind you,
I was
poked and prodded and pinched into a corner and I felt
Yeah, 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 yeah.
there was no way of getting out of it, to be honest.
So you just started abusing me.
Thank God the Sydney Swans, thank God for the Sydney Swans for making the draft night interesting, very predictable and boring these days. That's from Matt. But imagine if you let not just the immediate family in, who are all a little bit, you know, mum and dad are a bit embarrassed. We show too much emotion. And it was great to see Adrian Fletcher last night, who we spoke to last week, was always going to be emotional, and he was. But imagine
where
if you
let... Where did his young bloke
go? Well, went to Brisbane. Yeah. Went to Brisbane at pick 2 in the end. The big came from North Melbourne. But also Fletcher, Jasper Fletcher went to Brisbane, pick 12. Will Ashcroft went at 2. Yeah. The two father-sons there that Brisbane ended up having to cough up for. But imagine if they let fans in or friends for a bit of atmosphere. Or do you reckon it'd get a little bit out of control?
Yeah.
You'd have to have it at a bigger venue for sure.
I think it's tough to make interesting.
Yeah, well, this would help. A bit of ambience, a bit of atmosphere, a bit of excitement in the room, wouldn't you thought?
It's tough to make interesting.
David from Ballarat. You watched how much of the draft last night?
Me?
Yeah.
Zero.
Oh. Sliced smoked salmon, seed mustard cheese, avocado and onion is my favourite multigrain sandwich, sometimes as some thin slices of tomato as well. And this one, my wife and I are constantly fighting over the sauce in the fridge or on the shelf. She wins, of course, so it lives in the fridge. That's from Niso in Allensford.
Come on, toughen up, Niso.
Kinnear Beetson, superb last night, says this texter. Cost GWS a first rounder. Got Adelaide back for Dawson, trade full tote. Got three huge picks for one off Hawthorn, all inside 15 minutes. We'll break that trade down between Hawthorn and the Swans.
The winner is Sydney.
Yes, indeed. A little bit later on in the show, because that could be massive next year in what is supposed to be a loaded draft if the Swans can go in with what they've been given. Before we get to the news, do you ever... What was the most amount of sixes you ever hit in an over? No, just it.
I don't know.
You would know. Was it three? Was it four? Was it five? Was it six?
I do not know.
Now, there was a domestic Premier League equivalent game in India last couple of days, and there were seven sixes hit in one over. A List A cricket match, Maharashtra batter, Rudraj Gaikwad, who's played a few T20 games, I think, for India, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly, he hit seven sixes in an over. So he hit one, obviously, off a no ball. So he took 43 off an over from poor old Shiva Singh, equaled the record, the List A record for most runs ever off an over.
Mm.
There's an elite group of players to have hit six sixes in an over in professional cricket. Who are they? There's Gary Sobers, Ravi Shastri, Herschel Gibbs, Ross Whitley, Leo Carter, Kieran Pollard. So the ground was at least two the size of a postage stamp with the vision that I saw.
Was it?
That was pretty small, actually, but seven sixes and over, amazing performance. Thanks to ENS, we're celebrating the 12 weeks of Christmas, of course. You want to text in your nomination for someone who needs Christmas just to come a bit early, and this Friday with the Volcano, we'll give away that $1,000 voucher from ENS.
Great pleasure, Corn.
Yes, start the message with ES Christmas. We were hopeful of having...
Where's Gil?
Well, where's Jeremy Rockliffe? I thought we were going to have the Tassie Premier on today. Now, he's just postponed our conversation, hopefully, not indefinitely, until later in the week. We were hopeful we were going to get him on today. I was really looking forward to an update on where things sit with the stadium down at Macquarie Point.
Has he gone away with Gil?
In Tasmania. Well, maybe they're locked down. Maybe they're locked down. Mm. Sourcing some funding from the federal government remains to be seen there. Uruguay just had a shot saved from close range. We are 33 minutes played.
Saved!
It was saved. It remains scoreless over there in Qatar, the final game of day 9. The countdown, of course, all towards the Socceroos in the early hours of Thursday morning. Scoob will be there at Fed Square to watch it all at 2 a.m. Get around him when he gets there.